The following recording was made on November 15, 2012, at a neighborhood meeting in the Pacific Cycle building, called to share and discuss plans for facility expansion.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. Really great turnout. We appreciate it. My name is Chris Horning, and I was actually the founder of Pacific Cycle, but retired several years ago, and pass a baton on to Alice Tillett here to my right. But I did maintain an ownership share in the company, in the building, not the company. And so when, as Pacific needed more space, they turned to me as a representative of the landowners and asked me to get involved and see exactly what they could do to stay in a neighborhood that they've enjoyed being in for the last 14 or 15 years. So we very much appreciate and wanted to share the overall idea of our expansion with you tonight, and both to inform you and also to welcome your comments, because quite frankly, it's going to require some changes in zoning and support from a wide and broad number of facets, both at the city of Madison and within the neighborhood, in order to get this done. And we felt that, you know, without a basic grassroots support from the neighborhood, we didn't want to go ahead and invest a whole lot moving forward without your support. So I appreciate you coming to attend this meeting tonight, and welcome your comments. A few introductions are in order here, I believe. Bob Feller is the representative of Iconica. That is the firm that would be doing the construction and planning it, and Bob is an architect. So from an architectural standpoint, layout standpoint, he has some diagrams, and he's responsible for these renderings that that you'll see later in the program. I'd also like to thank Larry Nelson for helping us coordinate and liaise with the neighborhood here, and standing at the back with his hands on his hips there and looking the other way is Bob Silvas, the general counsel for Pacific. And to his left is Sue, and I don't know your official capacity. I'm sorry.
Stand here in the back.
Okay.
No, I'm the Vice President of Human Resources for Pacific.
And to her right is Bob Kamuk, who is the Chief Financial Officer of Pacific Cycle. We have another member from Iconica on the design team, Luke, to Bob's left there. And the only fellow in the room with the tie on is our commercial realtor and consultant Rob Helm from Helm Realty. And on that note, I think I'll. Would you like to say a couple words, Alice?
No. Or? Yeah, I will really quickly. I'll be quick because I want to be respectful of everybody's time. First, I on behalf of the Pacific Cycle Group, and there's about 100 of us in this building. I want to say thanks for taking the time to come over. I'm going to speak for the whole group. This was extremely important to us. Just to give you a little bit of history, I've been with Pacific. Chris hired me about 11 years ago, and I have been driving this same road pretty much every day for the last year. So what most of you all don't know is I probably know a lot of you by face, or by the dog you walk, or when you take out your trash on Monday. I know you well, and I know you don't know me, but now I'll at least be able to wave as I drive by. And ultimately, as Chris said, it is truly a passion of mine that we're able to stay in this neighborhood, build this company, add more people, and make it a really great place to live, as well as be a good neighbor. So once again, I thank you for coming in, and I welcome the questions as well.
As I look in the crowd here, I overlooked a couple of dignitaries here in the crowd. I'd like to point out we have two members from the City of Madison Department of Development. Matt and Ruth in the back here, and then a representative from the mayor's office, Ann, here in, on the right side. So on that note, Bob, would you like to
Absolutely.
Explain what we have in mind?
Sounds good. First off, I'd like to find out who's lived in the neighborhood 5 years. Raise your hand if you've been here. Or more. Okay, 10 years or more. 20 years or more. 30 years or more. Impressive. How many years?
46.
46, all right. How many?
42.
52.
Wow.
70 years. Since
1942. Really?
Farmed this land.
Very cool. Same.
Yes. 1965.
All right. Welcome. Did I miss it? 44 years. Incredible. Hey, that's very impressive. This it must speak to how wonderful this neighborhood is, right?
Yes.
Well, as was shared by Chris and Alice, the feeling's mutual. And that was really one of the charges to Iconica and myself as a design architect on it. That whatever we do, however we make this the solution work, needs to be respectful to the neighborhood. We want to respect the people on both sides of the property as well as the people driving by on the street. Okay. So we've had a great time working with the group. We've actually been engaged now for a couple of months. And with that, I'll jump right into the project. The slide is actually a little bit redundant now based on some of the things that were shared, but I think one of the things that wasn't spoken to is that Pacific Cycles had some great growth. In fact, they're looking at adding 30 to 40 employees in the next 4 years. So with addition of employees, that means they're busting at the seams. That means we need to grow the building. Growing the building means additional parking as well. Fair to say that they've been a pretty good neighbor, low impact, not a lot of traffic. They don't have a lot of cars coming and going every single day. Essentially, it's vendors coming in or people looking at product line. And as far as truck traffic goes, it's primarily just panel trucks that are coming in, right? They have a warehouse in Illinois, not a lot of 18-wheelers, again, smaller panel trucks. So low impact on the neighborhood. The intention is that really stays the same. We're going to add a few more people to the property, but the function and how they interact with the neighborhood will not be greatly impacted. So with the site, I guess give you a little orientation here quick. The belt line right here, it looks kind of nice when it's all green, doesn't it? And this is Hammersley Road. And then this is the property that Pacific currently has. The brown building is the existing. The beige is the proposed. So you'll notice that there's a piece of property. This is the 4908 address. And another piece of property across the street. This is the 4817. The intention is that in order to grow, they need additional space. So they have a purchase order in place for both properties. The intention is that this single family house will be brought down with the need to expand the building. The grades do increase about 6 feet as you head to the west. So the intention is, again, to minimize the impact of we're looking at about a 28 to 29 foot tall building. To minimize that, we're going to recess it into the hill here and then provide landscaping all around the perimeter of it. Additional parking up front. And what this is showing is just three curb cuts. We're actually going to close this one off and provide just two curb cuts. And really, that's primarily for fire truck access. Not a lot of need for the parking lot, not that the counts that required, but the fire department does. So we still have good fire access to make this a safe, good, safe building. Then, because we're taking up, oh, this is going to go on, there we go. So in order to handle the additional people coming to park, we are looking at this piece of property here as well. Purchase order, purchase agreement is in place for this one. And we'll be bringing the building down and regrading it to put in a parking lot. On the perimeter, the edges that affront the residential properties, we will be putting a fence, 6 foot high fence, and we'll also be landscaping the outside edge of it. Intention is to keep, I'm sorry, was there a question? Intention is to keep light transmission across the property line to an absolute minimum. So we'll be using lights with shields on them so that when the nighttime does come up, the light is not migrating over the property line, and also with the fence, that'll keep headlights from shining into the adjacent properties. Yes?
What are those squiggly lines around?
All these squiggly lines right here, those are the contours. Good question. So what that represents, it gives you a sense of what the grade is doing. The property, this is the high side of the property, and the grades, each one of these lines is a 1 foot step down to the low end of the property. Yes?
The parking lot on the south side of Hammersley, is that going to be 2 lots deep? How deep is that?
Nope, that is a single lot deep. That is the existing.
Yeah, that's diminished as a lot, right, which is really covers 2 lots though on Reeves Road.
Right.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, there's a piece of property here, there's a piece of property here, and then there's a third one that extends behind it.
But it doesn't extend beyond that third one.
Correct. Correct. Very good question. Yes?
Are you aware of the easement that Whitman Village has that crosses the property over to Hammersley?
Are you referring to this easement right here?
Yeah, it comes straight through, and there's a sewer under there.
Yes, we are familiar with that. So we are in the process of working through with the city on a solution for that. So what it'll most
you're not going to be able to build over that.
Correct. What it'll most likely require is that we will put a manhole here to turn the sewer, bring it down the existing along the property line. We've looked at connecting it directly into the street at this point. Because
but that doesn't change the easement that exists.
Right. So when we purchase one. One of the steps will be to marry the two pieces of property together, so we will be submitting a new certified survey map, which will marry the two properties into one.
And that's a problem.
And then we'll work with the city to make that easement, relocate the easement.
I don't think you're going to be able to wash that.
Okay, well, the conversations have just started with the city, so we'll...
Well, I happen to be over there as one of the owners. And not to monkey wrench anything, it's just a question of saying how you locate the new design building. And I think that basically that you're going to have to recognize that there is an easement legally that stands.
Absolutely, understand. And be more than happy to cover this in more detail after the meeting. Okay? Any other questions? All right, so I guess I'll speak to just a little bit more detail in terms of the approval process. In order to, as I touched on, in order to marry the two properties together, we are having a new certified survey map drawn up, which essentially replats and marries the two properties. The intention is that this property line will disappear, and this just becomes one large contiguous. So in order to do that, this is currently zoned R1, and this is zoned C2. We'll go for a rezoning of the site. This piece of property also zoned R1. The intention is we'll leave that as R1, and we'll be going for a conditional use of an accessory parking lot on this. This is acceptable for the zoning requirements of the city of Madison. Just a couple of requirements we need to follow in terms of the fencing, the landscaping, retention ponds, things such as that. The parking lot is actually not allowed to be used from 10 o'clock at night till 7 a.m. in the morning. So we're looking into ways of potentially even putting a clock on this and having the lights dim down. We don't, as much as we'd like to have them turn off completely, I think for safety's sake and for security, it's always nice to have a certain level of light, but not have it to the full parking lot requirements, perhaps. Yes?
So security-wise, there are not going to be gates?
No.
So it's going to be wide open?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that might be attractive to younger kids that park in parking lots and like to drink and smoke?
Again, one reason for keeping the lights up, and then the city does also know this is an accessory use and that parking lot should be vacated after 10 o'clock at night. Any other questions? I think I've touched on this, so why don't we go to the building portion. This is the design as we have it today for the project. The intention is to really pick up on the strong design elements that face out onto the Beltline side of it all. This is what we call a ribbon window, so a continuous window that runs across. This does align with the elevations of the second story on this side of the building. But because there is primarily a function going into it, it's the creative studio that's going into it, they want the natural daylight in, but they don't necessarily want the windows down low. Potential for storage, some racking, some security as well, keeping, I'll say, corporate secrets safe, okay? So at this point, we're keeping the windows out of the lower portion. This door represents the area where the panel trucks would back up, make deliveries, and then leave. There is always the potential, though, that if in the future they Pacific continues to grow and they need additional office space, that we can put additional ribbon windows right here. And that's what this control joint and this line represent. That those are the heights that match up with the glass on this side. This is a brick corner piece, which will pick up and match the brick of the existing building. And then this is a synthetic stucco product, EFIS, that we'll be putting on and covering the rest of the mass. We are creating an employee entrance, and I guess for orientation purposes, it's a little bit small. Maybe I'll go back to the site map. We have an existing employee entrance right here. We're really just keeping the employee entrance there, but reconfiguring it, bringing it out, making it a little bit more of an architectural feature. And then for phasing purposes, I thought we'd just share with you how we're hoping to approach this construction-wise. First phase is actually to do a remodeling of the interior of this building. So long before we can start any sort of construction on the addition, because we'll still be going through the city approval process, we do want to start creating space so that Pacific Cycle can start adding employees to the organization. So what we will be doing is up on the second floor of the triangular piece, so that's the newer portion of the building, the portion you're in right now, we'll be bringing people and we'll be relocating them to a space which is their current creative zone, tall space. We'll put in some cubicles in that location, temporary cubicles, and fill cubicles and offices on the first floor in the existing building. From that point, we'll be able to go through, remove carpets, do a little bit of minor demolition with walls, repaint the facility, touch up doors, windows, that type of thing, but give it a whole new fresh appearance, and as well add a few stations. We're looking at about a month to a month and a half for that phase of work. Then the second phase is to take all the people that we relocated and everyone that's going up on the second floor, move them into their permanent spaces. Whoever's left over, we'll bring back down to this temporary cubicle area and fill any additional spaces here. And then we'll redo the first floor of this space. Again, about a month to a month and a half process in order to do that. About that point, we'll be getting to what we're hoping is the city approval process, because we'll go through Planning Commission as well as Common Council. About the time that we're wrapping up approval process is the way we're projecting up. Spring comes and we'll have the ability to start the construction on the addition, as well as do a major remodeling within the one-story portion of the building, the original building to the site. The construction process on that, Luke, will be wrap up maybe around July, start March, maybe wrap up July, August.
Can you tell us what the setbacks will be on the design building? Side yard, rear yard?
Absolutely. So what we have right now is a 10-foot setback on this portion of the building, which matches this side. We have an 8-foot just at this corner. Otherwise, it exceeds that. We're approaching 20 feet at this corner. The front, the 30-foot setback is... we're well within the 30-foot setback. We're actually 64 feet off of the property line on the front. And then as far as the parking lot goes, we'll be 30 feet off of the property line. We will be 8 feet on the sides. And I'm still checking with zoning on this one. I haven't found a clear answer, but right now I'm showing the 8 feet on the back.
backside.
That's the fence, or that's where the parking lot starts?
That's where the parking lot starts. Yes.
I'm curious. It looks like you have a lot of parking lot around the buildings that you need this sensor parking.
We do. Good question. City of Madison has a requirement, minimum of 400 square feet per person in a building. Okay, so if you take a building, you divide up, you take up, figure out what the total square footage is, and you divide it by 400 square feet, that tells you how many parking stalls you need to have on the site. So that's the minimum, 200, one stall per 200 square feet is the maximum. We're falling just over the minimum requirement in order to make this work. Yes?
What is that little turquoise square in the middle of the parking lot?
Oh, okay, good question. This portion of the building, I'm going to step back just half a second and I'll get to your question. This portion of the site is tied into the city storm sewer, so there's no need for a retention basin. But because of this new function going into it, we are providing a retention basin. So what will happen is a major storm event, water will wash into this collection zone and have the ability for the sediments to settle out before it moves on into storm sewer. And actually we're trying to recharge the groundwater with an area as well. So that's it's actually a very eco-friendly solution. So schedule, just touch on this. I actually touched on a few of these already, but we have submitted a notification for demolition. That is something that the city requires. It needs to be submitted 30 days before we can make application for the rezoning of the adjacent property, as well as the conditional use of the property across the street. Really all that does is it's notification out to you, the neighborhood groups, so that you understand something is coming, and you can prepare if you want to participate in city meetings. So that was made on the first of this month. Then we will be submitting our revised CSM. That's the document that is just the drawing put together on proposing how we would marry the two pieces of property, this property and the one adjacent to it. That'll get submitted on the 28th. We are looking at submitting our rezoning application for that adjacent property on the same date, as well as the conditional use application for the parking lot across the street. Begin remodeling, interior remodeling of this building on December. Hoping to receive city approval if all goes well on February 5th, which would then put us in place for bidding out the documents, because once we have approval from the city, we'll go to bid the documents with the ability to potentially start the addition in March of 2013, so this coming March. Yes.
Do you see as business, right now there's a plan to hire immediately 40 people for this location?
No, I've heard.
We've already, right now at this point, we're busting at the seams. I don't know how else to say that. We've, since the first of the year, Sue, would you say about 20 people have been hired? 25 people have been hired. And yes, we have more to continue to hire, but right now I've got to wait. I can be real honest and say I'm out of conference rooms and I'm out of bathrooms right now for the amount of people that I have in here, quite honestly. So yes, business is good. Business is strong. We continue to develop new and innovative products, and the plan is we're going to continue to grow that business. Absolutely.
So part of the question is, right now you may get to the point of 40 within a, once it's built, you'll populate it very quickly with 40 additional staff, or maybe 20 at this point?
Probably closer to 20, yes, because I already have that additional 25 that are already in here, or in the process of being hired.
And,
yes.
And then you see expansion past that, and then what is that expansion expected to be in another 4 or 5 years?
I think over the next couple of years, I think we looked at about a 10%, between an 8 and a 10% growth rate.
And what you're building here will be adequate for that, or are you going to have to expand what you're
No, I believe what we're building today will help. It will be very adequate for that. We have planned for that growth, and that's what we looked for.
Just for perspective too, Alice, when we did this building 10 years ago, we planned for the growth to be at this point.
Yeah.
you know, and it worked, it fit the needs for 10 years, and now we're at that point where we need more space. So that's what we're looking at here.
Has there been any discussion up to this point of expanding or adding more floors to the existing building?
Would you take that one or want me to run with that?
Well, you can start
it
up.
Okay. Yes, we have. Actually, we have. The building obviously would have to be designed in order to carry the additional load, and this one is designed for the current load, no additional stories put on top of it. The original building, there was some shoring put into place when this building was put next to it, because when snow is blowing, it drifts and that creates additional load on that roof. So it's been shored up, reinforced in order to take on that load. Could we have put another story above it? Yes, we could have. But there was concern over the amount of downtime, what it was going to do. Really, we'd have to shut down probably about 2/3 of the building in order to make that addition work. And that was just too disruptive for the whole process of the business.
So it would be easier if your addition was a two-story addition. I mean, is that going to be just one story or two stories? Or
It is one story, and that is one tall volume, but there is the potential that we could always add a second floor in there. The height is there, and we could add a second story.
That brings us back to the point this gentleman was making, because over time, as the growth continues, this two-story building, more of that design studio can be converted to offices, giving some flexibility. So this footprint should last at least another 10 years.
Our property is one that will have a parking lot right next to it. And I mean, we just got these wonderful power lines out here.
And we lost a lot of wonderful trees in the process out there.
Yeah, well,
we watched them cut down.
And that,
yes.
That property has a beautiful tree that shades our very looking trees. And then having parking lot next to us, I'm sure that will impact our home value. What do you say about that?
I don't know exactly where the tree is located. Certainly if it's close to an edge or a border or something like that, we would do everything we possibly could to keep it. But we will be doing a lot of planting around the outside of those of the screened in area. And we have a considerable budget to make that border area quite palatable to you and the other neighbors that are adjacent to it. We don't, you know, this is a bicycle company. We don't really like the idea of knocking trees down and putting parking lots up. We're not doing this, you know, because we want to. But just the logistics of the project and the necessity, you know, the desire to stay here, we're kind of between a rock and a hard place.
What percentage of your employees currently bike to work?
That's a very good question.
This time of year.
It varies with the weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I very few about this time, but I would probably tell you in anywhere in the neighborhood of 10-20%. Do bike in, and we incentivize them to bike in, absolutely. Being a bike company, I'd love to have everybody bike in, but we're not really afforded that, as I said, with the weather. But, you know, anywhere between that 10 to 20.
Yeah. Provide any kind of shelter for the bicycles.
Well, we do, actually. That's what I was going to say. One of the design considerations in the layout is that we have a very specific indoor parking area for bikes. So we're going to have the best bicycle parking area in the county.
Then you might have the possibility of getting a variance from the city on the number of parking spaces.
There is that potential, but as Hollis had mentioned, when wintertime does come around, then there's you kind of have to design to the worst case scenario, and that is when you need the additional stalls.
We would welcome one.
Right. But the facility will include locker rooms, so showers, changing facilities for people who do bike, as well as workout area. As Chris had mentioned, indoor bicycle storage. So I know we're going to easily meet the City of Madison requirements for bicycle storage because it'll be the envy of town. Yes.
Oh, I arrived late, so you may have already brought this up, but I was under the impression that a lot of your parking lot is used as a park and ride for commuters on the bike path. Is that true or not? Intentionally, you know, offered to when you first moved in here.
Well, when we first developed this site, we wanted to encourage people to use the trail, in particular on weekends. That's when the trail is used, you know, more recreationally, and we continue to promote that. I mean, we put the drinking fountain in out here, and we put the little seats where people could sit and rest, and we wanted to encourage that type of use. I don't know, Bob, maybe you've got an idea. I don't have a feel for how much, do people come here and park during the day?
There is some of that, but the primary use is on the weekends, although yeah. There are times, and especially as we get into the bad weather and more people here that aren't commuting then start driving, in the wintertime, we're at maximum capacity in the parking lot, so.
I'll be very honest, right? You know, I mean, I'm not one to be, you know, around the bush much. We have today more people than we have parking spots. That was one of the biggest challenges that we had, was I have to give parking area to employees, especially in the wintertime when they can't bike in. That's what it boils down to. It's the number of people and the number of spots available, and along with city requirements.
I'd just like to make a comment. As we said, we don't really look forward to having parking lots to us. But on the other hand, Pacific Cycle has been a very good neighbor to us, and when we had some concerns originally about free out in the parking lot, you were very sensitive to our needs, and we certainly don't want to have a big empty building across the street.
Quite honestly, I don't want to make it a big empty building, if you want my honest opinion. As I said, I've been here a little over 11 years, and I think, as I said, I speak for the group, we want to be able to stay here. It's just being able to do a palatable way to accommodate everybody, and I appreciate that, you know.
That tree's gotten big, hasn't it? Yeah. I've watched that thing grow. It's
huge.
Yeah,
it was a little hard on it this summer.
Yeah, we've kept it alive. Well, we'll do our best to screen that. I realize you have a property in between you and Sub-Zero that insulates, but we can put a berm along there and plant some more trees.
Would it be possible to have a grade separation, have the parking lot a bit lower than the adjacent properties?
Yeah, we've actually talked that through. There's about 4 feet of drop from the side to the side, so we're thinking that there may be the potential of a boulder retaining wall on the side and shifting the lot closer to this side. So that gives us just a little bit more green space and the ability to handle that grade change. Still has snow storage on site, green up the space, absolutely.
I know you're making this expansion for future work, design and all that. Have anybody given consideration of the fact that maybe 5 years from now, Sub-Zero could vacate that building? Would you be considering to jump in and take over?
You know, if I wish we had a crystal ball and could predict that. I, rest assured, when we started to talk about this project, the next day we were in contact with Sub-Zero because we had heard that perhaps, you know, they were not utilizing that facility to the maximum amount possible. And they informed us that they had plans and there was they were not interested in talking at all about potentially allowing some expansion there. And what their long-term plan is, you know, I can't share with you, or I don't know. But that would certainly, we would be interested in that. But unfortunately, our needs are relatively short-term, and we have no way of predicting what their needs are going to be 3 and 4 and 5 years from now.
Can you just give me an idea, since my parents have the other lot that's going to be facing the parking lot, when they look out their picture window in the morning when they have breakfast, and what exactly are they going to be seeing? Is it a fence? Is it a boulder wall?
Right. It'll be a...
which house are they in?
The second lot in, right there.
Right there.
Yep.
When they look out into the backyard?
Yeah, so what they'll see is we'll have a 6-foot-high fence. The boulder wall will be on the parking lot side of it also, not necessarily looking at the boulder wall. The fence will be on the higher side of it all.
Okay.
So we have the ability to store snow on property. And then there is the potential that right now that the landscaping is on the property of the lot, there is the potential that the landscaping could be put on the outside to soften the edge of the fence. But we need permission from your parents in order to move the landscaping.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We do have, you know, we want to point out the border between the village and the existing building. There's, I know we can't really see it now, but in fact, do you live back in the condos back in this area? Do you have a view of our the backside of the building here?
The two units are back up to it, yeah. But we have a walkway that goes around that.
Sure.
And we put in a cedar fence so that we wouldn't see you.
Okay. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
What is the fence going to be made of? I don't know if you're okay. I'm assuming it's privacy, right?
Yeah, typically it is a cedar, dog-eared type fence. Yes.
How about sidewalks? We don't have any sidewalks in our neighborhood.
Well, the existing would remain here. We are providing a crosswalk over to the side from it, but no, there was no intention of any additional sidewalk along the edge.
In fact, I think the sidewalk ends at the end of our lot, doesn't it? We have a sidewalk, and then it kind of ends as it goes west. It's a sidewalk kind of to nowhere. I think that looks
okay.
Well, I certainly appreciate your questions and concerns. And as I said before, we didn't want to take this a lot further without engaging you as a neighborhood group. And I encourage anyone with comments, and I have some questions that I'd like to pursue with some of you, and let's do it on an individual basis. But if no one has any further questions, Larry?
Chris, as we go forward on this, who will be the contact person for the project? Do you have questions?
You know, it's we've kind of divided up the responsibility. From a building and architectural standpoint, that would be Iconica, and I would encourage anyone to contact Bob Feller here. And if Bob is not able to get the answer, then he will send you to someone who can. If it's something specifically related to Pacific or something that's that the employees or the phasing or some parking issues or something like that, then Bob will probably get you in touch with someone on Pacific staff, probably Bob Silvis across the way here. I'd have you get in touch with Alice, but she travels a huge amount, and in fact, she was supposed to be in China today, so.
I just raise it because I think we might have other residents that may not even be here tonight that may have questions.
Sure.
I can get Bob's contacts up there for him.
You know, Rob Helm is a resource. I am a resource. So, you know, just have him contact any of us.
Yeah. Sue, why don't you make sure that he gets your name? Sue's here all the time from an HR standpoint, and if there's anything from an employee, she can easily address that.
On that note, once again, oh, yes, sir.
I'm all bored.
Well, thank you. I mean, some issues came out here tonight that we really want to, you know, think long and hard about. I know that it will affect some people more than others. And
yes. I'm concerned about how it's going to affect the bad weather.
Well, we have a professional realtor that can take a look at the whole thing, and we can identify that and also identify steps that we may have to take to make sure it doesn't impact it or positively impact it. I know we have an easement issue that you brought up. We need to talk about possible solutions and maybe even a design change to accommodate that.
I have a curious question. It may be somewhat in your far future, but you talked in terms of a two-story addition to the design studio?
Well, it's not an addition. We would use the existing shell that we're showing you now and just put some more offices in there.
In other words, you wouldn't go to a second story?
No, it is actually going to be tall enough to support two stories.
Well, I thought he mentioned it was a two-story building.
I apologize for that. Confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're really trying to.
I was going to catch you on. You need more parking.
Yeah. Believe me, we don't want more parking. and it does look like a lot. We really don't want as much as we have, but unfortunately, we're stuck with the requirements, and also you have to plan for those three or four weeks a year when a lot of people do drive. You have to plan for that peak.
Yes, there's a rezoning going to take place if this all works out. How does that work? I mean, what's the procedure for?
Yeah, Bob knows more about that than I do. There's a,
I mean, is that an automatic thing? Or?
No. It's something that's interactive.
Yeah, right. So we'll be submitting end of this month our application for it. Notice will go out. When the notice goes out, there will be yellow signs posted prior to the hearing, and that is it's a public hearing. Anyone is welcome to attend.
On the property in question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to send out notices to adjoining properties.
Correct. Certainly. Correct. Yeah, all the adjoining properties will be notified. You'll be notified and invited to the hearing.
And it's a single hearing or something?
Another good question. Planning Commission will be the first, and that'll be in February 24th. I'm working from memory. I can't remember if it's the 24th or 28th. I think it is the 24th. And then followed up by that is a Common Council meeting. If, assuming you get approval from the Plan Commission, then it goes to
they
Common Council.
They make a recommendation to the Council.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's about 2 weeks separation between the two.
All right, on that note, thank you very much. We're adjourned. Appreciate your attending, and please, we don't want to get stuck with all these cookies here. We need